We've been singing songs, if you haven't noticed, about dangerous things. A ship on the ocean in the dark looking for a lighthouse. Or the lights along the shore. Because of the dangers that are around us, we have warnings. There's dangers in the darkness. We are warned not to go to the darkness. I want to talk to you this night a little while about warnings. Have you ever had this happen to you? You go to bed at night. You're almost asleep. You're right on the edge. And you hear, beep. What is that? A little bit later, you hear it again. Beep! Oh, I hate that. Why is it always a smoke detector battery when I go to bed? So you get up, and you don't know which one it is, and so you're looking. And so, but you never say, well, what is that? Let's get the smoke detector battery. Let's get the smoke detector owner's manual and find out, why is it beeping? You know, certain things you know intuitively what it is. And it's a funny thing because this is a warning about a lack of warning. It's saying it's important that you have a smoke detector. And hey, you don't have a smoke detector anymore because the smoke detector gives you a warning and now there's a warning that you don't have the warning anymore. So there's this funny thing with a warning. It's important. Important enough that you're awakened from your sleep in the middle of the night to take care of it. I was putting dishes in the dishwasher this week, and I closed the door, and it beeped at me, and a light was flashing. I thought, well, now I do need to get the owner's manual. I don't know what this means. And so I called Vicki in, and she said, you did something wrong. And so we did it right then. We corrected that mistake, and then the dishwasher was okay. The modern automobile. You know, at work we compare everything to a car. We all can relate to that. But an automobile has no lack of different kind of flashing lights and beepers and buzzes to tell you something is wrong. You didn't put your seatbelt on, your spare tire, your tire pressure is low, you've got somebody in your blind spot. I love that one, by the way. But modern technology has given us all these things that say, hey, look out, there's danger, warning, change your behavior. Wouldn't it be nice if God gave us some sort of a warning mechanism? Beeper, buzzer, flashing light, or something that told us, hey, you're getting ready to do something wrong here. Change your behavior. Well, he did. We know that he did. We call this our conscience. God gave us a conscience. It is our God-given ability as being made in his image to recognize right and wrong, intuitively. He put that in our heart. Romans, the second chapter, verse 15, talks about those Gentiles who did not have the law of Moses. They were not intimately familiar with that law, but still they sinned, and they need forgiveness. And the apostle writes in Romans 2, verse 12, beginning, I will read, for all who sin without the law, we're talking about the Gentiles that are not having the law, also perish without the law, and all who sinned under the law, of course he's talking about the Jewish people there, the law had been given to them, their jurisdiction, will be judged by the law, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. The original word here translated conscience is a word meaning with looking. You ever tried to explain or have somebody explain something to you and then you get it and you say, oh, I see. It is the looking, is the seeing with looking then, with a conscience. To be warned. The Bible word for warning means to put to mind. I'm going to turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter now. In Hebrews 5, we'll begin reading in verse 11. He says, concerning him, and he's talking about Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Although God has put in us a natural sense of ability to know right and wrong, God did not have to write it, engrave it in tablets of stone, to know that it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to commit adultery. We know this on the inside. Nevertheless, God gave us his word, his oracles. And that is what we need to put in our hearts. That is how we train our conscience. God's word is how we train our conscience. The writers of the New Testament, the preachers, the apostles, delivered to their audience many times, many words of warning. We see these warning words pop up every now and then, quite often actually. I'm going to cite a few for us this evening. In Acts the 20th chapter here, the apostle Paul in his travels has invited the elders from Ephesus to come and meet with him to talk about their work. And Paul says in Acts the 20th chapter, at verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. This word admonish is a word meaning to warn. Every day, for 3 years, with tears, he warned them. We need to pay attention to the warnings of God. Also, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. There I'm going to the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The writer says this, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God for your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress or defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Every warning that we receive in this life, whether it be a buzzer on our car or smoke detector, or some more important matter, a problem of morality, immorality in our life, with every warning is an implied call to stop doing one thing and start doing another. That's repentance, coupled with a change of heart. Modern day preachers and modern day man-made churches in them will proclaim a false message of God's love, universal acceptance and toleration for sin, a message not found in scriptures from the things that we've been reading just tonight about the warnings of God. The modern day teaching of religion around us is often lacking a declaration of God's wrath and his vindication. First Timothy 4. We have a warning specifically about this kind of thing. Paul writes to the young evangelist and says this, but the Spirit explicitly says, in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy, of liars, seared in their own consciences with a branding iron. And he goes on to give some examples of the false teaching. So here we have it. We can say we have been warned. And with a warning comes an implied call to do something. If you're living in sin, practicing continually sin in your life, you need to repent of that. If you've never put on the Lord in baptism and become a part of his blood-bought body, you need to do that tonight. Would you do that? Repent of your sins, confess your faith in him, and submit to burial and baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've once done that, and your conscience has become seared, so to say, and you've allowed the sin to creep back into your life, heed the warning. Heed the warning tonight. If you need to respond, step to the front now as we stand and sing together.